The ushers are getting the collection tray. Just remind you that they also have the e-transfer option. If you're like me and you forget to go to the bank and or write a check or something, you can always e-transfer money with from your online banking thingy. I've done that. I'm doing this right now. Actually, for me, it's much easier, to be honest. And I don't longer have the excuse or I forgot, because I can just pick up my phone and do it on the spot. So and one more thing before we actually jump into our sermon. As of next week, I will start to present a lot more about the mission trip we want to take to Moldova this summer. If you don't know what Moldova is, it's a small, tiny country, probably the size of GTA at the best, just east of Romania, west of Ukraine, and very poor, one of the poorest countries in Europe, and very entrenched in what I would call an orthodoxy, basically. People have a form of religiousness, but not true heart with the Lord, so they need the gospel. Alcoholism is a major problem over there. Prostitution is one of the main businesses of females. Wine is the main industry of the country, so actually they have good wine. They have a wine cellar that is 200 kilometers long. You'd go with a truck in it. That's one of the big ones, it's not the only huge ones. And only 45K have actual wine. So if you have more extra wine at home, probably don't, but just saying. And by the way, we don't go there. We go to a poor village in the south of Moldova called Badicu, and we do two things. We have a 5 days youth camp for teenagers where we do English lessons, sports, and a daily couple of, everyday couple of Bible lessons. And then the weekend is focused on couples. We have a marriage seminar through the weekend for married couples from the village and actually the whole area. And I'll be teaching a lot that weekend. I will have Nick to do the running around and playing with the kids. I'll be more sitting down in the shade and just enjoying. Anyway, just kidding. So I'll give you more updates about that as of next week, but just kind of prep the terrain for that. Let's pray for the word of God. Dave, Brother Dave, would you pray for us?
Father in heaven, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that we may see Jesus, the crucified.
This was the message that God, I believe, God gave to me as I prepare for today. And these words that we actually sang in King James Version, but this is the same thing. O death, where is your sting? For all of us, death is the scariest moment of our lives, seemingly. I mean, the fear of death is what causes us to do many things, some of them actually quite stupid. And it's right. If you do not have hope, death is the scariest moment of our lives. But Christ came and disarmed and defeated death and took away the greatest tool of death, which was sin. And that's why this question in 1 Corinthians, Paul brings up and says, O death, where is your sting? You've been defeated. Christ is victorious. And I like this saying. Here in Canada is, on and off. Some people know of it, some people don't. But in Europe, at least in Romania, for 40 days straight, people do not say good day or hello or hi. People say Christ is risen as a greeting. And they actually mean it, I hope so. And people respond, he is risen indeed. And that's an old custom, all the way from the Greek. That's not Romanian, that's Greek on the screen. And that's Christos Anesti. People respond, Alithos Anesti. Indeed, or in truth, he is risen. And if you, take away all the excuses, French, have French, Romanian, Greek and Mandarin here on the bulletin, so you guys can practice, if you have not heard this phrase before on the bulletin, you have it there. But this is actually, this comes from a very old hymn in Greek. We still use it in Romania, not just Romania, all over the Balkans and Russia, this hymn that's probably 2 millennia old is sang every single Easter, and it's one song that everybody knows, and it's just even it's simple, even if it's simple, it's so full of truth. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and to those in the tombs, granting life. That is a typical translation in English, but actually if you know some Greek, the last two words in Greek actually says life gracing upon them. Life was given as a grace, as a gift upon them. It was not just granted, was given by grace. Is that the word in English, grace, to be graced with? Yeah, that's actually Greek. That word, charisamenos, is giving something as a grace, as a gift. We got, on that day, we received life as a gift from our Lord. And we were those who, it says there in that hymn, that's not the Bible. Anna said, it's not in the Bible. I said, I know, it's just a hymn, but it's a great one. Actually, just off of a rabbit trail, and some of us will probably hate me for this, but some of the hymns that we sing, some of the simplest, have the most profound teachings. Let me see who knows this one. It's probably the best hymn in English language. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So much truth in those few words. So this hymn is actually a proclamation. Christ is risen from the dead, and he trampled death by death. And to those in the graves, which is us, he bestowed life upon them. He granted life unto them. He graced life to them. And also another verse that actually says the same thing, but this is actually from the Bible, Romans 6:9, that says, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. And that part, death has no longer dominion over him. Romans 6:9. These are some amazing proclamations. And both the hymn and this verse from Romans, they have so much power in them. And one word that comes to me when I read this, when I say this, sing that hymn, or say these words, is this: hope. As we prayed in the prayer time, hope. Why? Because we all long for hope. Let's be honest. We all long for hope. Being hopeless is one of the most desperate states of humankind, of any person. Being hopeless is just destroys you. And I'm talking here about just a human hope or worldly hope that says at the best is a maybe. God gave us a hope that goes beyond any kind of human hope because of this. We have a God who is able to do far more abundantly than than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. That's why we can hope today, and we can go to the one that gave us hope in the first place. But why do we need hope? I'm sorry that you probably, I'm not sure if you can see well. That's a painting called The Tears of St. Peter. I have no idea who the author is. But that was one tragic Saturday. Imagine being Peter, and any of the disciples actually, on that one Saturday, not knowing what comes next day. Clueless. Forgetful. Because actually they've been told, but just ignored. And also the sadness, the regrets. I should have. Those regrets were just eating. I don't know. I can only imagine, if I were Peter, how much bitter those tears would be. Not just regrets, but also confusion, loss of direction, loss of purpose. What do I do now? Where is my Lord? What happens now? And also fear, because they knew the Jews were onto them. All those feelings. This other picture I found online, I just couldn't find the author or the title. One website called it Anguish. The Anguish of the Disciples. And it's not clear, it's a small picture, but it just moved my heart, because I was almost like them, hopeless on that day, when I tried to imagine those feelings of these people. Because you know what? We celebrated Good Friday 2 days ago. And we spoke about the Good Friday. And it was a great time here as a family of Christ. But Good Friday only makes sense in the light of Sunday. Otherwise, just a bleak and hopeless day. It is not good at all unless Sunday comes. And these guys didn't know about Sunday. It was just the first day of the week. One more week to just go through it without the Lord. That's all they thought. And that's why that picture is called, that painting, it's called anguish. But then Sunday comes. I'll read those verses. If you want to open your Bibles in Mark 16, the first 7 verses. I chose Mark because it was most concise. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance into the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that a stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go. Go and tell the disciples and Peter that he, Jesus, is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Sunday has come. You know, the ladies, the women go there and they see nothing but the angel saying, "I told you so." How many parents told your kids, "I told you so," ever? You know, this is what happens here. The empty tomb. It's an "I told you so." Guys, I told you. I'm going to go there, suffer, die on the cross, and rose again. I told you so. But you forgot. Because you had different... Actually, it was that selective listening, you know, that we husbands are very famous for. That we only listen what we think we like or need. And then we just ignore the rest. Like, pick up the kids and then go and rest. And what here is, go and rest. You know? That's the way the disciples were. They just heard, "I'm going to Jerusalem and die." The part that says, "I'm going to be up again." Just, you know, it's here. "Just as I said, just as I told you." This picture is called John and Peter on the way to the sepulcher, the tomb on the day of the resurrection. And I'm not sure if you can see it well here. I can send you the picture, or send you a link to the picture online. It's on Wikipedia, so it's free. The feelings of those two guys in this painting are just amazing. They didn't have Instagram back then or Facebook, so we don't have actual pictures. But the author of this painting was just brilliant in the emotions on the face of John, the young apostle, loved Jesus. And the eyes of Peter, kind of asking, "Is it true?" Look at the hands of John. Like, is he really alive? It's like he's ready to run towards the grave. As we know, he actually did run. All the hopes. Can you just imagine the feelings when he heard, "He is risen. He is not dead. He is meeting you in Galilee. Go there as he told you." What happened? What happened that morning is what we all proclaim. Christ is risen. This is the greatest proclamation of Christianity ever. Not Christmas with all its beauty and all the flu and all that stuff. Not Christmas. Christmas means nothing without Easter. Because Christ came not just to live, or Christ came not because he was supposed to give us a nice example in teaching, whatever. He came to die and not stay dead. He came to die and be rose again and give us hope, and give us future, and give us in abundant. And I like what Paul says, "For I deliver to you as a first importance," not just, you know, something good, a good advice. No, Paul says, as a first importance, what they also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and then Paul continues. This is a first-hand news. This is like a breaking news on all the stations. Christ is risen, and is the reason we hope, the reason we endure, the reason we go through pain with a smile on our face. Not because we like pain, because pain is only temporary. And one day we will stand face to face with Jesus. O death, where is your sting? Christ is risen. And as he rose, he has defeated death. You know, who here does not fear death? Honestly, I do. You know, it scares me. You know, I hear of cancer here and cancer there, and this guy dying here and this guy dying there, and it scares me. And I was happy that we got a PR last week, permanent residency, because now I thought, if something happens to me, now kids and Anna are safe. They don't have to leave the country anymore. But had I died before April 8th, that'd be trouble for my wife and my kids. Now I can die, you know. I don't want to, but, you know. It sounds funny, but we fear death. But on that day, he destroyed the power of death to scare us and to make us do crazy stuff. I like what Isaiah says. He swallowed up death in victory. He swallowed up death in victory. It was prophesied. It was not news. For God was not something that was a surprise. It was the plan from day one. From the day when Adam sinned. When Adam destroyed that fellowship with God. God had a plan from that day. And on that Easter day, Easter morning, the plan was coming to fruition. Our hope was born. Christ swallowed death in victory. And as he defeated death, oh death, where's your sting? It was not just a second game of third game of the series, whatever the Leafs won recently. No. It was a complete and final victory. A couple of verses on the screen. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death has no longer dominion over him. Or Romans 1:4, and Christ Jesus our Lord was shown to be Son of God when God powerfully raised him from the dead by the means of the Holy Spirit. God is God. Jesus is God. He raised from the dead and he defeated death on that day. And not as he defeated death, he won victory for us. Colossians 2:14 is not on the screen. But as he... I don't want to make things up. You know, do something like 1 Peter 3:1 thing. Colossians 2:14. Actually, 13 and 14. In you who were dead in your trespasses, which is us, dead in our sins, and the uncircumcision of our flesh, God made us alive together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses, and by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. And 15, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them open shame by triumphing them over them in him. All those accusations and the accusers were defeated and put to shame. Death no longer has power. O death, where is your sting? But what does this matter to us? I mean, if you're a Christian I remember my first Easter as well as my first Christmas when I first believed. I was 23, and it was just amazing. Actually, I was 24. It was just amazing to have faith, to actually sing those songs, sing that hymn, and believe. But when you're a Christian for 20-plus years, almost 30 for me now, actually, I don't know, my math is bad, 20-something, or maybe more, sometimes you get callous, you get used to. You think more about the turkey in the oven or whatever Anna is doing, the painted eggs or dyed eggs, how do you say in English? Dyed eggs? Anyway, you think about the food and fellowship and you forget about the gift of life. And that is a problem because we are, without Christ, we're dead. Honestly, without Christ, we're dead. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Famous verse, Romans 3:23. Or 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Or as Paul says in Ephesians, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. We were one day sons and daughters of disobedience, enemies of God. But he loved us even when we were still enemies, and he sent his son to die for us and pay for our sins and be resurrected. You know, we were accused with no hope of parole, nothing. Accused, and we knew we're doomed. And Christ gave us hope. If this is not a reality, knowing that I have sinned and I have made God angry, then Easter means nothing to you, honestly. But once you realize the burden of your sins, and that verse, for I have sinned and I have fallen short of God's glory, even though that sin may be just a lie, you say, I didn't kill anyone, I didn't steal, still you have sinned. That made you an enemy of God, a daughter or a son of disobedience. And that's why we need hope. This is why Easter or Passover or Resurrection Sunday means so much to us, because we all needed hope. Some of us need it today, but all of us need at one time need this hope, you know, that then, today, and every day of our lives, hope is what we want, and hope is what he gave us. Because that verse actually doesn't stop there. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but he paid it all for us, for me, my sins. I told you I saw the Passion of Christ many, many years ago, and I walked out of the theater. I have two words on my lips, for me. I was walking towards the tram stop, and my legs were shaking. All I could think was, for me. And then this verse, the free gift of God through Christ is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That is hope. Death no longer has its sting. As Peter says, as read before at prayer time, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. He has given us new birth. To what? A living hope. And you read that verse, verses 4 and 5, a hope that is unperishable, unfading, kept in the heavens by God for us. When he defeated death, he restored our hope. And I love this verse. We sang it, I think. My memory may fail me. If not, we should. You know, I know my Redeemer lives. It's a more upbeat song that my wife really loves and my brother-in-law loves a lot. You know, I know my Redeemer lives. It's back from Job 19:25. But man, those words are so powerful this morning. I know my Redeemer lives. You know, I was talking to a woman, a lady, and she was sad, and she needed someone to like vent almost, that her, I forgot exactly, it was brother-in-law or something, a relative, was dying of cancer. And I told her, if you didn't know Christ, that would be a tragedy. It still hurts, still bad, but you know what? This life is temporary. It's only, it's short. Whether you live 50 years old and die in a car crash, or live 120 and die in your bed, it's still short. And it's nothing compared with what comes after. So I don't care if I live 51 years and then I go to my Father, I live 120, and then I go where? Honey, I'll live long, okay? My plan is 120. That's my goal, you know? That is my goal. When I turned 40, I said I finished my first third of my life. So that's my goal. By God's grace, you know, I want to retire at 75. So you're stuck with me for the next 25 years. Rudy. Okay, Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death forever. Isaiah was a prophet, and prophets see things. Prophets proclaim the given truth, and prophets see truth as God gives it to them. And sometimes they don't see it like when it's going to happen, like today, tomorrow, in 2,000 years. But Isaiah saw something from the Lord. The word in Hebrew from prophet is seer, the one who sees because God shows him. Okay? So Isaiah sees this and says, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. The shame that was upon us, the reproach, he will take it away, for the Lord has spoken. And that is truth. Or it's not on screen, but if you want, open or click or swipe to Ephesians 2. Some of the, again, famous verses from Paul. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him, and seated us up with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in the kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. So death, where is your sting? When he rose from the dead, he gave us the most precious life. And I want to remind you of these verses that come alive on Easter morning, because this is why Christ died and rose again, not just to pay for our sins, but to give us the most precious gift of all, which is life. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. John 10:10. I came that they may have life, and life so and so. Right? No, life abundantly, a life you rejoice in. It doesn't mean you have, actually some of you guys have, BMWs and nice houses. Some of you guys have those. But it means you will have joy and hope and peace and fruitfulness. And sometimes God will give you the desires of your heart. Not always, but sometimes, because he's a good father, okay? So Jesus said to her, a woman, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet he shall live. Or, famous verse of all, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Or my favorite, and it's not on the screen, on purpose, just to make you guys look in the Bibles. Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead lives in me, he who raised Christ from Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, and he will give me life. Romans 8:11. What a promise. Oh, death, where is your sting? You know, death is here still amongst us. But it's here as a defeated enemy, because it is no longer the end. Because now our end is with Christ before him. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, there are many rooms. And one of them is for me, and one of them is for you. And that is where we're heading. That is why today we don't fear death anymore. We have celebration of life services when someone dies, because we know they've only moved to a better place. Remember one day, I was young and I wouldn't say foolish, I would say full of faith. A lady by the name of Anna died. She was about 3 or 4 years older than my wife, back in 1993. So she was sick, she had a brain aneurysm. One day she was healthy, next day she was in emergency with like tubes all over her and stuff. And We, the Christians from the church, we gathered in the hospital in the hallways, and we prayed 24/7. We took shifts and prayed 24/7 for her salvation, for her healing. And she died. And her parents, actually her grandma, took her and put her in a obviously coffin, and she was in the cemetery in the chapel the night before she was buried. And we stood there, I don't know, 10, 15 young people. Were you there, honey? And we prayed. We prayed for her to raise up from the dead because we believed the scriptures. And in that night, God gave me this message. She is with me, pain-free. Why do you want her back? Can you give her what I am giving her now? And that's when I stopped praying for her. You know, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning in a cemetery, in a chapel, small chapel. Touching the coffin, I stopped praying because I knew she was with her maker. She was with her, the Lord of her life, and she was happy. No more pain, no more sorrow. And that's because death has lost its sting. It is not the end anymore. Today is celebration. It's Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate, you know, like I said, it's the greatest celebration of Christianity. In Romania, it's the whole country just vibrates. The day before, I was talking to Drew, I think. It's I'll say, clouds and clouds of dust. Every housekeeper, say it in English? No, housewife. Sorry, housewife, not housekeeper. Housewife. Every, and guys, too, we take all the carpets and we just beat them up. We beat all the dust out of them. And it's all clouds, you know, of dust because everybody makes their homes clean. Everybody cooks. It's the smells. You walk down the street and it smells like crazy. You know, bread. I wouldn't even know how to call them. Cabbage rolls. Chicken. And it just smelled. It's amazing. And everybody vibrates. And then next morning on Sunday, it's like everybody goes visiting. Everybody is carrying food. Everybody smiles and says, Christ is risen. The whole country vibrates. In my grandma's village, boys go with perfume bottles, and they spray all the girls with perfume. It's cheap, and it's bleh. But, you know, it's fun for the boys. And it's a greatest celebration. Whether it's popular, it's just customs, or the actual faith, this is the greatest Sunday of them all. Because we remember that we have life, and death no longer has any power against us. Because he lives, I can face life every day with hope and courage because Christ gave me life abundant, life filled with his spirit. Because he lives, today we celebrate victory over sin and death through his resurrection. Because he lives, I can face temptations and trials with hope and strength. They will come. Be warned. Temptations and trials will come. But you have strength from the Lord Almighty through Christ who was raised from the dead to live lives of victory because this is what he did for us. Because he lives, we can face any trials with hope and courage. We celebrate that we are saved from the wrath of God by the perfect sacrifice. Because he lives, fear has no longer dominion over me. I don't have to be afraid anymore. God, my Father, is not angry at me. He's not because of Christ. And that is amazing. I lived a life as a young man, teenager and younger. When I heard my dad's key in the door, opening the door after he came from work, my heart would sink. I'd be petrified because he was a good man in his way. He loved us in his way, but gosh, was he violent. I got myself bitten quite a few times, and I just hated being in the same room with him. I wanted to be away and gone from home as much as I could. I loved my dad. I cried like crazy when he died, but it wasn't easy growing up. And sometimes I feel that the same fear might be attached to my Father in heaven. I try to behave to earn my Father in heaven's approval by living rightly, and then I forget that my God's defining word for me is grace. God graced life upon those in the graves. It's a hymn. It's not the Bible, but that's so much truth. And that's why fear no longer has dominion over him, because I know I'm unworthy, but my God is a loving and gracious God as much as he is holy and just. In Christ, the two have met, God's justice and God's love, God's holiness and God's grace. They came together in Christ, and therefore fear no longer has dominion over me. And the last one, I think, is we celebrate today that we have been graced with the greatest gift of all, life everlasting. Because he lives, I live too. A life abundant and life forever. And again, I say, this does not mean that, you know, my pockets are full with cash or I drive the latest car or whatever. No. Sometimes God gives those. It's not a bad gift. Money is not the root of all evils. The love of those things is. Life abundant, like I said, is life filled with hope. You walk away from this place smiling because God loves you. And God walks with you. And God protects you. And God is comforting you. And God wipes away those tears. And God says, I know. And you're not alone. That's why it's called life abundant. And it's not just abundant, it's everlasting. Death has lost its sting. Oh, death. I think it's on the screen next. Oh, death, where is your sting? Death doesn't scare me anymore. Yeah, I want to live long because I enjoy life. You know, the life God gave. I love my wife. I love my ministry. I love this church. I love Canada, honestly. But this is only the foretaste of the glory divine. Is that a song? Sounds like a song to me. It's just a foretaste of glory divine. And I look forward to that day. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and to those in the tombs, giving the gift of life. Christ is risen. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, we come before you this morning as a family, as Christians, as your church, to thank you for the gift of life, to thank you that your Son chose to come to this earth and live a life in the form of a servant and die for us. And in his death, he achieved victory over death itself. In death, on the cross, he shamed and mocked the accuser that came against us. And in his death, he won freedom for us. But he didn't stay dead. Death was trampled under his feet. And he rose again to victory. And he rose again to give us life. He was the first fruit. And we are the harvest of God in your kingdom. And we thank you for all that we have in you, Lord, today. Remember that we have hope. And we know that death no longer has its sting against us. And the death's greatest weapon, which is sin, was destroyed because we no longer live under the law of sin and death, but we are under the law of grace. Father, help us today to rejoice in our hope, to rejoice in the fact that our Lord is not dead, but he is risen. And one day we will sit with him at the table and we'll share a glass of wine with him and say, Lord, thank you for death, for resurrection, and for the unceasing intercession for us as a high great priest, as a great high priest. We thank you this morning, and I pray that this hope of today will fill our hearts as we leave this place, but stay with us tomorrow, the day after, and every single day. May we remind this by just greeting each other with simple words like Christ is risen. We thank you for our fellowship today, and I pray that your Spirit will make these words truly alive in us. And in the end, I thank you that you graced life upon me. I did not deserve it. I did not earn it, but you still chose to grace it upon me as the greatest gift. And I thank you for this in your Son's precious name. Amen.